We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Once again, we'll try to come to you by the way of radio into your homes and to bring forth some important stuff that I feel like that is important for us to know about scripturally, and that you may be led by the Word of God and come to Him and allow Him to be your Lord and Master. There's many things that are happening around across the nations, around the world today that Bible speaks about over 2,000 years ago, my friend. But many today have come to the place that wherein they just ignore the things that wherein was written by the prophets of old and therefore by the apostles of the New Testament. Many people today have come to be so hard-hearted and their minds are calloused by the things of the world and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're just going by the way of Cain, in other words. They just ignoring what's going on in the world simply because they haven't took time to believe what God had to say about these days that we're living in. So it's about time, friends, we wake up. Wake up, church, because the time is at hand that God is bringing forth judgment, and it starts at the house of God. We see in the newspapers and these things are being fulfilled, and beside all of the things that are coming across the land, that laws are being made for in favor of sin, that God has also pronounced destination upon of death to them that do these things and those that have favor with them. My friend, it's time we wake up to the reality. God's word is not writ there just for amusement or something other that you to put off and laugh about, as many have done. We've seen that things are happening across the land in the church world and how that sin is running even rampant in it in many places, where the pastors are having immoral contact with the members and so on and so forth, and this immorality of homosexuals and things are filling our states and our countries, and the people are sanctioning it and everything. My friend, it's time we wake up to reality. We're living in the last days. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's entirely up to you. But I believe that the Bible is very sound doctrine on these things as we endeavor to try to bring to you. I know I've brought it out before, but I think it's something worthwhile. As God called Ezekiel to be a watchman on the wall to warn the people when the sword was to come upon the land, if he warned them and they take no heed, then their blood would be required on their own head. But if he seen the sword coming and didn't warn them, then their blood would be required on his hand. My friend, I'm not wanting to see you shed your blood in vain, but I'd like to know that you had God in your life, but I don't want your blood to be on my head there, in my hands there, because if I fail to warn you of these things, as well with any other preacher, then the blood's going to be required at our hands. So I've tried to take the time out to warn you of these things that are coming, and that you may take heed to the word of God, not because I said it, but because it's written, and it was there for over 2,000 years. And if you look about and you'll see the things that are being fulfilled in our world today, that which was wrote about years ago. And if you didn't take heed of that and everything, your conscience has been seared with a hot iron, and the devil has told you such a big lie that you won't believe what the Word of God says, my friend, you're destined to be lost. But I want you to think about it, and as I encourage you, read your Bible. Don't take my word or whoever else it may be. Don't take the word. Read your Bible. Read it for your own salvation, for the soul that you looking out for, your own. And therefore, read it and believe what the Word of God has to say and accept Him as your Savior before it's too late. Because these things are going to be fulfilled, whether you or I like it or not. There's a lot of things that are happening. I don't like, but they're going to be, so I'm accepting them. But I got to understand that Jesus tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and are saved. I'm hid in that name of Jesus. I believe that that's the only name that's been given to us that whereby we can be saved. Calling upon the name of the Lord in repentance, believing and trusting and having faith in the precious blood of Jesus that will cleanse us from our unrighteousness is the only way that we're going to have that eternal life with Him. Because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. God requires that to be. And when Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, He died for you and I. He shed His blood for the cleansing, and the price for our sins that's been paid by Him. So if you accept it, not by just merely raising your hand and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you continue on in whatever you're doing, and you haven't changed, it's not going to work, my friend. You need to come to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, repenting of your sins, looking to Him that He would forgive you of your sins if you'll ask Him. He's faithful and He'll do it. But you got to ask Him. He's not going to do anything for you just because He don't want you to die. You got to ask Him for salvation. You got to ask Him to forgive you, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He came to deliver us from the curse that Adam put us under by sin and disobedience. So He came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. So it's up to you and I to whether we want to repent and let God come into our life and forgive us of our sins, and we walk in the newness of life, taking on Him in baptism and having a renewed mind and seeking after the kingdom of God with our whole heart. It's time we woke up to the realization we're living in the last days, my friend. They're fastly coming upon us. And the Lord said, except these days be shortened, no flesh should be saved. Now, taking two or three days out of the week or a week out of the month is not what He meant. You look about you and see how fast time is running along. It's speeded up. We've got instant this and instant that, and all these things that are happening around the world is speeding up the time. It seems like that we no more than go to bed till the sun's rising, and we get up, and it's no more time that we get up. It seems like that it's time to go to bed again. Time is running fast. So these are the ways that I believe that God is shortening the day. But nevertheless, a time is now at hand. We need to read in the Word of God, find out what He has to say and said and had penned by the apostles out of the Old and the New Testament about these days we're living in. Believe it, trust in it, repent of it, and give God glory and praise, and let Him be the ruler of your soul, and therefore giving you the opportunity of salvation through His shed blood. It's time we wake up, time we take heed in the reading of the Word of God and believing that these things are upon us and the time is running short. It's time to take heed to God's Word. As we go to prayer, you pray one for another that God will enlighten us and help us to understand and give you courage to read His Word and help us to know that He is on the throne and He has control over these things, but He will bring forth salvation to us if we call upon Him and ask. As He said, He stands at the door knocking. If any man open unto Him, He will come in and sup with them and He with them. So, my friend, we need to open the door of our heart and let the Lord Jesus come in. Father, we thank You today for Your love and Your blessings. Thank You for the word of truth that You wrote unto us by the prophets of old and the apostles of the new to give us forewarners of these things that are to come, that we may take heed to Your word and accept it as being the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the prophets of old wrote and the apostles of the new wrote unto us of these days that we live in, because they was inspired by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, to write to us. And we looking at the things that are happening in the world today, it's all penned in your word. And we look at them and we see these things happening. Let us take heed. Help us to be forewarned that the sword not come and take us in our sins, but that we would repent and give glory unto God. And all that be accomplished in that wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I believe my wife's got something other here for us. But just listen and pay heed to the word of God and read the Bible, my friends. Let me encourage you, read your Bible for yourself. Believe what it has to say, because it's being fulfilled in yours and my time today. Here's my wife.
Well, I just thank the Lord this afternoon that he has given me something, laid it on my heart to share with you on these end times. It's a message that needs to be taken into consideration as we approach the end time. We are like watchmen on the wall. We're warning you of things to come. I realize it's not very popular, but thank you, sister up in Pennsylvania. You said to keep reaching, and we're going to do it. It's something that Lord's laid on my heart, and we've been thinking about it for some time. I read this on a radio station several years ago, but it's here, the alarm. This alarm is going out that people are not doing as the Bible said. They read the Bible and they said, well, that's not for us, but it is for us, even if it was in the Old Testament. Genesis 1:1 to the Amen in Revelations is for us and anything in between. But this is here, the alarm. If you can look around you and see what is happening in this country and your inner alarm doesn't go off, you are getting used to the darkness that is descending upon this nation. If you can listen to your local and national news networks and hear of all the crimes, violence, and corruption reported in America in just one day, and your alarm doesn't sound like a naval ship called to battle stations, there's something drastically wrong. It could be that the awareness part of your mind has been calloused by the constant bombardment of garbage from the corrupt and perverse ideologies pervading our society today. In the studies, America officially and by law kicked God out of our schools. Since that time, SAT scores have plunged to 73%, and by now it's probably less than that. The divorce rate went up and teen pregnancy soared. Hear the alarm. Is this what's happening in our nation now? Violent crime has risen 500%, and rioting has ripped our cities. The streets of America have become a battlefield. That infamous decade marked the beginning of the world, of the end of this once great nation. Hear the alarm. And in the schools, they're putting rifles in there and taking God out of it. Something's wrong, people. The list is unending, and people are disillusioned and discouraged. In the Tampa, Florida area alone, people are so discouraged or apathetic that 75% of them do not bother to attend church. Hear the alarm. Everybody thinks they're okay. I've got news for you. We need one another. We need to get in church. The Bible said, forbid not your assemblings of yourselves together. That doesn't mean to go out and eat and have a good time or anything. That means to go to church and hear the word of the Lord. Pastors aren't even preaching the end time, but we're here to do it for them. If we can persuade you to read your Bible. Since 1973, 30 million unborn human beings have been slaughtered through abortion. 1,500 babies a day are born addicted to drugs. In one out of every four families in America, the children are sexually abused. A lot of them by their own parents, their family. Hear the alarm. We're becoming a nation of people with hearts so hardened that there is no respect for human life. God is speaking to our unhearing and unheeding nation even now. Oh, here is alarm and wake up. 31 states have same-sex marriages in several countries. It's an abomination. God doesn't like it. He's not happy with it. And one day, he is going to say, I have had enough. We're like Sodom and Gomorrah and like the days of Noah when the pleasures of life are more important than serving God. He's speaking to us through physical calamities, rampant wars, sexless violence, drugs and alcohol abuse, immoral and corrupt leadership, and in many other ways. And he's trying to get our attention through wars, rumors of wars, and earthquakes, and all these storms and everything. Yet the church continues to major on entertainment and pop psychology while the masses ignore the church altogether. Hear the alarm. Many churches are closing down. Maybe they have one service on Sunday morning. Hear the alarm, folks. Things are happening. Look up. We need to remember God's warning. Oh, hear the alarm. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You can read that in Psalms 9 and 17. The way out of the sinking sand is simple. We need a real revival and not superficial emotionalism. We need to make an unconditional commitment to the true God and his eternal purposes, the God and his principles that this nation was founded upon, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Turn back to the eternal God who is revealed in his written word and centered in our creation, Savior and coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do this, the rewards will be unimaginable and the restoration miraculous. If we do nothing and continue to ignore the alarm, the consequences will be tantamount to a hell on earth. We cannot choose to ignore the sounding alarm, but we cannot choose the consequences of our actions. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be ours to behold. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That is in your red letter Bible, if you have one, in Luke 13 and 3. Choose this day whom you will serve and humble yourselves before God. One day we will all bow our knees and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Best to do it now. The meek shall inherit the earth, but the religious and ungodly will inherit an unending punishment in hell, where the fire is never quenched. Praise the Lord! Today is the day of salvation. The Bible in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible puts it very simply. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Friends, we'd like to hear from you. You can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. And you can write to us at Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And we invite you to listen to us 24/7, probably for the last 2 years, on www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. And I tell everybody, if you can't sleep, turn us on, go into your computer 24/7. We've got a message for you. And may God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Yes, my friends, it's really time for the church to wake up, for the people of this world to wake up to reality. As I said a little bit ago, that the things in the Bible was wrote for our benefit, and they're telling us about the things that's to come upon the land in these last days. And truly, we're living in the last days, as Peter made mention about, that they're perilous times. We look about the world today and we see that all of these disasters are happening, and these major storms, and even to this coalition of those people over there going and routing with the people and killing people, just unmerciful, killing them for no reason at all, simply because a lot of them, because they won't bow down to their way of doing things, and they killing them, and they're cutting the heads off of those that wants to help others. So my friend, we got to realize today that we're in the days of that which Jesus spoke about and the prophets wrote of, and even that if we would come to the conclusion that we would absolutely bear record that God's word is truth, if we would only believe, if we would read. And we see that the things that are happening around about us, they was told to us 2,000 years ago of how it was going to be, and it's coming to pass. As we look about us today, and we see that even in the days Abraham in his time in Genesis and 18th chapter there in the 16th verse, that Abraham intercession for Sodom, he even got to the place that he was asking the Lord if he seen 50 souls, would he spare the wretched? And he said yes. He even got to the place of 30 and 40, or on down till he got to 10. And he said if he found 10 in Sodom, that he would spare them for those 10 righteous. But when he went there, he found none except Lot and his wife and his three daughters. Even he went to Lot, went to some of his other children there and tried to warn them of what was fixing to take place, but they would not heed. So today, in the world today, are you going to take heed to the word of God, or are you going to go ahead and do what the world wants you to do? Are you going to be satisfied to be that the Supreme Courts and other courts and other law enforcements and mayors and judges in one thing or another are bringing forth laws to uphold sin? My friend, it's time we realize that the days of the are coming close to the end, and we need to repent. We need to call for that solemn assembly, as Joel called for, to sound the trumpet. And that's what we're trying to do. That may God bless us and help us, that we may come to the place of joining together and calling for a solemn assembly. And we join together into fellowship with one another and calling upon the name of the Lord, that we may have a revival before it's too late. It's time that the church woke up, because the Bible said that the judgment's going to start at the house of God. So we look and we see a lot of things we hear on the radio and different areas we read in the paper about how that pastors of the churches is having sex with their with other women folks in the church, how that they are coming to be depriving the children in one thing or another, having sex with them and going with these things. I don't believe that's the true church. I believe God's true church is on fire. I believe it's standing firm on the promises that God said he would give them eternal life. My friends, it's time we wake up to reality. We've come to be lulled asleep, and many of them has come to be therefore, and their conscience seared with a hot iron, because the God of this world has lied to them and telling you that, oh, God is so merciful and all these things. He's not going to cast anybody into hell. Don't you believe that lie, my friend. God is a just God, and he's a loving God, and he cares for you. It's not his will that any should perish, but he is not going to allow your sin and your baggage and your garbage and everything into his kingdom. He's coming to a place that we're in that he's going to have righteousness. He's going to make it all new, and it's going to be without any sin, because the God of this world, the devil himself, will be cast out along with the false prophets and false teachers, will be cast into hell, which is the second death. When we realize that Abraham interceded for Sodom, he asked for, just got to the 10. He thought maybe that Edom, Lot might be lost. But we come to the place there where he got down to the place to where that he went out in early in the morning to a place to where he stood with the Lord and talked to him about these things. And he seen the smoke of Sodom sending up, because God had rained fire down upon him because he didn't find even 10. So he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the whole thing, and all of them people that done the things that they desired in their flesh and everything, men with men and women with women, and they had no morals. They had nothing. They were just full of sin, and God destroyed them. But the thing of it is that he didn't destroy the devil that caused them people and deceived them and everything at that time. But he gave us an opportunity to repent. He called us to repent. He came into this world himself, died on Calvary's cross to bring forth salvation to them. The devil even tried to kill him there. He was born in Jerusalem, there at Bethlehem of Judea, by a little Jew girl named Mary, but it didn't make Mary deity. It just, the one that she bore was deity. It was God manifested in the flesh. But there's no scriptures that God put in there that we should pray to Mary and she would make intercessions to him, but many people do. But my friend, it's come to the time that people have got other gods before the real God, and he said he would have no other gods before him. He knew no other, and there was not going to be any other. But we've got to realize that the word of God was penned a long time ago. But if you look into around the world today by reading your Bible and finding that the time that we're living in is upon us, it's not far a thousand years off yet. It's now upon us. We look around and we see that Matthew, when he penned it there in Matthew 24, and he's talking about the things that were going to be prior to the Lord's coming, he spoke about the wars and the rumors of wars and the earthquakes in diverse places and the tribulations coming upon us and the things that was. He even made mention about the Noah's day, as it was there. They continued in sin. They married, they built, and they done everything that they're doing today, but their sin was running rampant. Every man done his own thing and his own pleasure, and his rights is this and his rights are that, no, not consider nobody else. My friend, these babies that being killed, they got a right to live as well as the mothers that was born them and the man that was siring them there. They've got a right to life, but they choose to destroy their lives before they're even come out of the womb. God's going to call them in to account for it, and it's not going to be pleasant. And I'm not saying they can't get repentance for it. They can, but how many of them will, I don't know. But my friend, it's come to the place that we're in, that we're living in the days of wars and the rumors of wars, and we know that how this ISIS has come along, and they're running rampant over the people over there and destroying them, shooting them because and killing them, cutting their heads off and everything, because they will not accept their type of religion. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to accept their religion and deny the Lord and be lost in hell just because we don't want our head to be cut off maybe or shot or something other? I hope not, my friend. I hope that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, being filled with the Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost will speak for us and not we ourselves. But the thing of it is, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not in you. How can it speak for you? He said, without my Spirit, you're none of mine. If the Holy Ghost is not within you, then it cannot speak for you. So it's time we got to realize that we need God in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, that he'll be able to help us to stand against the wiles of the devil. putting on the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of faith, having our loins girded with truth, and having our feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. We need to call upon the Lord in these days we live. We need to understand that we're living in the last day. All these things are happening, my friend, to give us a warning before it happens. As God had chose Ezekiel there as a watchman on the wall, I'm trying my best to be that to you that would hear what thus saith the word of God, to warn you of the things that is happening. Destruction is coming, as it was on Sodom and Gomorrah. We look about today that it started out with all of our judges and our thing. It's unconstitutional for them to forbid same-sex marriage. And the Constitution has nothing to do with the Word of God. God's Word is truth. And God said these things was an abomination in His sight. And them that doeth those things are worthy of death, and them that have pleasure with them, meaning them that will sanction it, them that will give heed to it, and these things. And so we look and we see on the internet news that we're in that some mayor over there in Texas there is sanctioning it all and gonna call some of the preachers to, they gotta cut out all this stuff and everything, preaching the word of God. They gotta sanction that it's all right for her to be married to another woman and all these things and all, homosexual ability. My friend, my word is to you pastors that are standing against that stuff, stand your ground if you're listening. Stand your ground and take heed. The time of is upon hand, and God's going to call us all into question about, and the consequences of whether we deny Him or serve Him is going to be met with the wrath of God. If we deny Him, He's going to deny us. If we serve Him, He said He would take care of us. And I believe this. I believe it with all of my heart. If I didn't, I wouldn't be preaching it. Oh, my friend, it's time we taken heed. Time we've taken heed to the word of God and believe what it has to say. When he penned us there, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, as he recorded in Matthew there. Now, we know that these things are coming to pass. We look at it. He even made mention about that the tribulations and therefore then all these things. We need to understand that Matthew penned these things because he was moved by the Spirit of God. And when he said there in Matthew 24 and 32, he said, "Now learn a parable from the fig tree, to when the branches are ready, become untender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you see these things come to pass, you know that the door, at the door is and everything, that these things are there upon us." We see that Sodom and Gomorrah, and that he said there that it was the days of Noah, but he goes on into the 17th chapter of Luke, and he tells us as it was in the days of Sodom, or Noah in the days of Sodom. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to allow the courts to judge us, to say we got to accept them? My friend, let me encourage you, accept the word of God, and first and foremost, these judges and all to pass these laws, and it may come back to put you in jail or something other, but if we be faithful to God, all of these things that may come upon us. We may be tried, we may be convicted by this world, by our things that we stand against all this sin and everything. But the righteousness of God said he would hold us up with his right arm of salvation. And they can't do anything to the soul. He might kill the body. But be feared of God, who can destroy soul and body in hell. All a man can do is kill the soul or kill the body, but he can't do nothing else. But my friend, we got to realize that these things are up on us. You can't deny what's upon you. If you see a cloud coming in the sky and it's lightning and thunder, you say it's going to rain. If you can't see these things being fulfilled, then why worry about the clouds and the thunder and everything? If you don't believe that these things are going to be, why believe that it's going to rain when it's right there on you? Because these things are upon us. And the preachers out there are going and trying to get their wealth and everything off the people and everything to lay it up for treasures against the days of old. Bible says that they would run and throw it into the caves with the bats and even cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. They live luxury in this world and everything, but in the world to come, how is he going to live? If he lets these things, these monetary things, predict to him what he wants rather than serving God in the spirit of holiness and everything. They said, well, this is God's will for me to have all this. If it had been his will for to have it all, we'd all be rich. Because I believe that God can supply my needs, and he said he would, and he has all the days of my life. And I done got over in past that 80 mark, and he's never let me down. He's always supplied my needs. And it is not to say that I don't have troubles, because the Bible says, and Job said, a man born of a woman and has troubles in this world as the sparks fly up. Sure, I've had my troubles, but I had Jesus with me to help me through them. So we got to realize if he's with us and not against us, we have all we need. We need Jesus more than anything else in this world. Friend, you cannot make it without him. It's kind of like oxygen. You can't see it, but you can't live without it. And you may live in this world without God. You may prosper and get to the corporate ladder. You may do all these things, but you got to remember this one thing. If you left God out, the devil will carry you to the top and throw you up on the top of the mountain. But when he casts you down, the Lord said, you build your nest on heaven, you build your things up on the high places, but he said he'd cast you down. Right. And my friend, it's come to the place that we're in, there's going to be a lot of casting down. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to suffer the consequences simply because they believe the lie that the God of this world, and I mean old Lucifer himself, the devil, has told them lies. They even come out here. People to come up with this here homosexual thing. He says, this is the way God made me, and I'm all right. This is the way he wanted me to be. That's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. God didn't make man that way. The devil come along and deceived him and put that thought in his mind, and he seared his conscience with it, that he would believe a lie and be damned. And that's exactly what's going to happen. It happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And my friend, if God don't do something about this nation today and this world, the way it's doing with this sin that he said was an abomination, he's going to have to call Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize, and he ain't going to do that. But he's going to bring a judgment upon all this sin and ungodliness, no matter how little or how big it is. He's going to judge sin in a righteous judgment, and he's going to pass sentence on it. And it's going to be cast into hell along with all the false prophets and all with the big fellers over there in Italy that sanctioned it now, even to the Roman Church, Catholic Church, is going to go along with the homosexual things. Said they got much to offer to them. I don't know what it'd be without it be money-wise or whatever, because it sure ain't pleasing to God for a person to be involved in that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, the sword is coming upon the land. You need to take heed. Read your Bible. See where we're at today. See the things that are happening that the Bible speaks about. See that we're in, that we're living today, that these things are been wrote to you and I for our learning and for us to take heed to flee from the sword that's coming upon the land. We need to be hid in Christ. We need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's our only hope. If you got hope in the things of this world and in the government and the laws of the world and everything, you're putting your hope in the wrong thing, my friend. Because the laws of this world has been changed considerably from what they used to be. They used to have, as my wife was saying a while ago, they used to have prayer. When I went to school back there in the late 30s and on up into till I left school in the 50s, My friend, we had prayer. We had it there, and it began to get a little slack when along about the last years of that I was there. But nevertheless, they still had some concept of God. We pledged allegiance to the flag, and we done a lot of good things. The teachers would read some scripture in the Bible, and we'd have time out and everything for some thoughts of God. But nowadays, they've run God out of the church and invited the devil in with the guns, the knives, and the dope and everything like that, with the teenagers getting pregnant and everything, teachers having sex with the little boys. The little boys is just as much to blame as the teacher. They had a right to say, no, I ain't going to do it. But they went ahead and done it. But I was a little boy one time, and I had fantasies, just like you did, just like many other men did. And they would have liked for the, especially if the teacher wasn't good looking and everything, they'd have fantasies about them. And they're doing the same thing today, but yet they want to persecute the teachers, and they want to put her in jail and everything and let the little boy go when he was just as guilty as her. Ah, my friend, it's time we wake up to reality. It's time we take on the consideration God's word is being fulfilled in yours and my day. The sword is swinging upon the land. We've got all of the evidences right before us of what God said would be. It's coming to pass, and it's upon us. What is it going to take? Is it going to, God ain't going to come down here and grab you by the nose or the ear and twist you and say, and set you down and say, now you're going to listen to me and put his finger in your first face. He's told you out of the word. There's been many preachers that preached your word of God to you, the truth of God's word, and they brought forth these things to you, and you're not taking heed. Jesus came, God in the flesh came and talked to the people in the flesh, and they wouldn't take heed, and they said, away with him, crucify him. And that's what the world's doing today. And he's just merely speaking by those that have been anointed of God to preach the gospel, them that have been called of God to preach to you, them that have been trying to warn you that the sword that's coming upon the land, they're going to have their hands clean of your blood if you die in your sins. Thank God for that promise that he gave to me, that if you die in your sins and didn't take warning to the warning that's been going out, your blood's not going to be on my hands. It's going to be on your own self. The children of Israel there called out and said, when the man there said that I didn't find no fault in him, and Caesar said, what has he done? Why reason do you want to kill him and everything and all? And he said, well, I'm going to wash my hands and let his blood on my hands. I don't want it. He said, let the children of Israel, the scribes and them said, let his blood be upon us and our children's children. That's where it's at today, my friend, simply because they denied the Lord God of glory, the King of Israel. They chose a man for their king rather than accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had him crucified. They're still suffering today. But one day, God's going to bring forth, and Israel's going to come alive. And my friend, they're going to suffer a little bit. But here it comes. They done come back to the nation that Isaiah said that it was going to do. And even down to Daniel and all of them wrote about that they would be gathered out of all nations. And they're there. Fulfillment of God's word. He said he was going to do it, and he's done it. And you people can't wake up to realize that the word of God is being fulfilled in yours and my day. Wake up. Wake up before it's too late, before you fall asleep on the sleep of death and have not repented, and you be called up out of the grave with death, hell, and the grave, and be cast again into the second death, which is in hell. My friend, it's time we got to realize that we're coming close to the return of our Lord. All the things that was wrote in the days of old, 2,000 years ago, the prophecy that Jesus gave himself and the prophets of old, they're upon us. They're fulfilling today. It's time we take heed. Read your Bible. Get you two or three of them. If you don't believe one, get another one. It'll back it up. The word of God says, let it be established. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. Now I brought forth to you the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. And therefore, and it come to pass there, and also it's wrote in about in Luke, in Matthew, and there. And we got to realize that these men of old was wrote the things that which was inspired to them by the Spirit of God, wrote unto you and I to warn us of this thing that is coming, that we be prepared for the day of the Lord comes. And if you're not prepared, you're going to suffer the consequences of being cast into outer darkness. But if you repent, and today is the day of salvation, tomorrow you and I, either one, have got promise of it. We may go to sleep tonight and never wake up this side of eternity. Oh, one day you'll be woke up either into righteousness and to go up to meet the Lord out of the grave, or you'll be brought up out of the grave, death, hell, and the grave, and then be cast again into hell, the second death. My friend, it's time we woke up to realization. It's time we take heed to the Word of God to understand and realize that these things are upon us. The fulfillment of God's Word is right here on us in yours and my day. The fig tree is putting forth its leaves. We know that the summer is nigh. We know that the things have been fulfilled. We know that the coming of the Lord is nigh upon us. So why tarry? Repent. Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, calling upon the name of the Lord God of creation, the man called Jesus. Seek after the righteousness of God. Let your soul be satisfied in the grace of God, not walking in the sin and the darkness. Yeah, most of the crooks goes waiting till dark to go out and do the devilment. That's just the way the devil works. But most people there today, some of them getting out now in the sunshine and killing and carrying on. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in. We need to take heed to the Word of God. We need to understand that these things are upon us. We need to realize that the coming of the Lord is nigh unto us, and we need to know that these things are being fulfilled in our eyes today and in our world today that we live in, and all these things are there, and we need to realize. And I would encourage you to read the writings of Paul in Romans there, when he goes to talking about that God's wrath on the unrighteousness. The just may live by faith. My friend, he told them there that these people that doeth these things, men with men and women with women, is abomination in the sight of God. But yet and still our laws and our supreme courts and everything are taking a stand on the Constitution instead of on the Word of God. I don't know if the Constitution had anything to say about this. I don't recall it did, but nevertheless, the Word of God is going to stand above the Constitution of the United States. It was wrote by man. True enough, the Bible was wrote by men, but they were moved by the Spirit of God. And it's true. If you don't believe it, read the Word of God, and you look around and see the things that are happening, and you'll know that God's Word is true. He said these things would be in the last days, and they're here. Now, what justice and everything has wrote a book? Who Adam and all those people that wrote the Constitution there, is all of their words fulfilled? A lot of our presidents have denied them. Some of our countries have tried to put around an amendment for this, an amendment for that, until they amended the truth out of it and got a lie into it. So where are we at? God's word's going to stand, my friend, whether you and I like it or not. It's going to stand, and it's going to be fulfilled. Right to the last dot of the I and the cross of the T, it's going to come to pass. He said, my word will stand. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All things will be fulfilled. So believe it. You can believe it and trust in it, or die in your sins and bust hell wide open. It's your choice. God gave you the mind to serve him as he would to not serve him, as he also did me and all the others. I choose to serve him. He called me and asked me to come unto him. My friend, I'm glad. I don't regret a time of going to him and bending my knees and bowing my head and weeping my way to salvation, crying and calling upon the name of the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I don't regret it, because it's power unto salvation to me. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it's power unto salvation. And that's what it is to me. My friend, today, if you're ashamed of him here in this, around this sinful nation today, and he's going to be ashamed of us before the Heavenly Father. It's time we take heed to the Word of God. It's time we begin to look and see what he has to say. And you read the in Romans there in the first chapter, and starting about the 18th verse, and he prayed, when he said, God's wrath be unto the unrighteous. You read it for yourself, my friend. He speaks about the problem with men and men and women with women. They've left the nature that God gave them to begin with, and they've taken up a lie that the devil put to them, and they're going with this. And he put it into them, and he said, it's an abomination. They're worthy of death, them people that do these things, and them that have favor with them. And these people that are making laws and upholding this kind of stuff, God's going to call them into judgment. I don't care where he sits on the judgment seat of man. He's going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and he's going to give an answer to all of his ways, all of his sins, all of his iniquities, and all that he pronounced ungodly ways and brought forth laws to abolish God's laws and his word. They're going to give an answer to it if they don't repent. And I would tell them right now, if they listen, you need to repent. You need to get out of that Sodom and Gomorrah attitude and get on that. Even Pope Francis needs to get out of that. Of course, that's been in that problem there for a long, long time. They've been into that situation, and the church is full of it. So I don't know if they'd ever repent. It's kind of doubtful, but my friend, it's come the time we need to read the Word of God. We need to search the Scriptures. We search the Scriptures there, and we think in a lot of times that we have eternal life, but they are the ones that talks and tells about Jesus. They are, the whole Bible tells about him. He was in the beginning. He is going to be in the end and all in the middle. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end. And besides him, he was, Isaiah pointed to him. He said, I know of no other gods. No, not any. So what are we going to do? Are we going to go with the God of this world that tells you all kind of junk and lies? Gets them all hooked up on drugs and sex and beer and booze and ball games and one thing or another till we come to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Are you going to turn from the old Adam nature, turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and calling upon the name of the Lord to where you may have eternal life? Oh, my friends, it's time we take heed to the Word of God. It's time we read the Word of God and take it as it is, believe it, and trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting, coming unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, calling upon the name of the Lord. And y'all out there believing that everything that comes down the pipe, and you believing that this is going to be, everything's going to be hunky-dory, and everything's going to be peaches and cream, you're going to go to heaven whether you want to or not, and everything's going to pan out because you got pan religion. And God is so loving and so kind that he ain't going to cast nobody into hell. You believe that lie the devil has told you, you're going to wind up in the place with him, cast into hell. You'll reap the whirlwind. But you need to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all, A-double-L, should come to repentance. And he called upon them. Except you repent, you will die in your sins. So it's up to you. But I see our time is about gone, so we just pray that God will touch your life, my friend. Touch your mind and put your thoughts upon him, that you read his word and believe that we're now living in the last days and it's upon us. The fig tree is about ready to drop her figs. So may God bless you and keep you. My wife's give you the address if you care to write to us. We'd appreciate it. We're not in it for the money. Of course, a little bit of help would help, would be a blessing, but nevertheless, I want to win your soul for the kingdom of God. That's what I'm after. May God bless you until next time.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are